trying hard to forget.
My name is Luke. You are listening to Elephant Loaf here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome back to Elephant Loaf. It's been a couple weeks between getting sick. I had a guest cancel. Monday's schedule was on a Thursday. So kind of got hit with a couple different vectors of not being able to make it. But we are back on the show where I interview a different person every show. This week, we have my friend Elizabeth on. Elizabeth, introduce yourself however you would like.
Yes, as Luke said, my name is Elizabeth. I am a sociology major from California, which is essentially 90% of my personality.
Fair enough.
And I did just see a frog and toad sticker, which reminds me that everyone should follow the frog and toad bot account on Twitter, because that's also a third part of my personality. It's my favorite thing in existence.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to need more about what this bot account is about.
It just posts clips from Frog and Toad.
Aww.
And it's the best thing to ever grace my Twitter timeline. Like, you need to follow it. It's just such a boost of serotonin every time I see it.
So perfect. Did you read Frog and Toad a lot growing up?
No.
No, that's real. And that's kind of like where I'm at, because I think I read it with my parents a little bit while I was starting to read, but it's not a core childhood memory.
Not at all, but like, truly, you do not know serotonin until you're like just scrolling Twitter and you see like, Frog stayed in bed because it was cold and Toad brought him soup. Like, it's so just wholesome and sweet. Like, it's so good.
It's just excellent. It's That simple living.
It truly is. It's just so wholesome and pure. And you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
And like, for how maybe drab the color palette is, it's very calming to me.
It's, you know? I love the color palette. Like, there, it is every, like, bisexual girl's dream color palette.
So true. So
like, the frog and toad fit goes hard, yeah. And you cannot deny it.
I'm just, there's something about swamps, man,
like,
you know?
It's the green, it's yep. the beige, it's the corduroy, like, mm-hmm. it's my dream color palette, I'll say.
Real. Yeah. Very real. Before the show, we were talking a little bit about songs and how they can remind us of people. Is Out of My League one of the, we just listened to Out of My League by Fits and the Tantrums. Is that one of those for you? Do you have others in mind?
It's not, but a couple of the other ones that I picked, I feel like now I associate very strongly with my job because they'll play it a lot. I work at Goldilocks for context. Everyone should go get a bagel there. They're really good. We're going to talk about that, I think, later in the show, but
for
I
sure.
want to plug it now because they're the best.
Absolutely.
And they just play a lot of really fun music all of the time. So I have a couple songs on there that I did steal from my boss, which is embarrassing that they have better music taste than I do, but...
Very real. And what's criminal about Goldilocks is you don't really, as a customer, you don't go in and hang out. And so, it's a very short entryway. You come, you get your bagels... And it's beautiful, and the bagels are amazing, but then you have to leave, and so you don't get the playlist.
I have been, like, debating if I should talk to my boss and be like, you need to make a Spotify account for Goldilocks, because, like...
That would be awesome.
It's a little bit of self-serving, because I just want to listen to all the music, and I don't want to have to, like, awkwardly be taking out my phone on shift and, like, shazamming the song to, like, add it to my playlist.
So true.
But I want it, so, like, it is a self-serving thing, but I think it would do well.
Yeah, real. So unrelated, the Brandi Carlile song that the previous show ended on. What's the name of that? Just so I can get back to that later, do you know?
Oh, I forget which song it was playing, but I absolutely can tell you. Oh, I think it's Heart's Content. That was
Heart's
one that was playing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. No, if you need Brandi Carlile recommendations, let me know. She was my top artist last year, actually.
Wow. I mean, we can just keep talking about this for a little bit if you want. What would be some songs you'd recommend?
This Time Tomorrow is really good. You've asked me this and now I've immediately forgotten every single Brandi Carlile song that ever existed.
That's really fair.
So I'm pulling up her discography right now.
Yeah.
Sinner, Saints, and Fools is one of my favorites. Anything with the story is just really good. What am I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, it depends on, like, kind of what vibe you're wanting. Stay Gentle is a classic. Now that I'm looking at this playlist, I literally want to list every single
just
song every, on the
just
album.
Just back to back to back.
Yeah, In These Silent Days is probably my favorite album of hers.
Okay.
But, like, yeah, they're all good. They're just, like, every song she has is just banger after banger after banger.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
I know you went to the Hozier concert last semester. I'm going to talk about Unreal on Earth because I love Hozier.
It's such a good album.
But, like, Damage Gets Done.
I love that
What are your
song.
Thoughts?
Here's the thing. It's so difficult because, like, I love that song so much. I don't know how to put it. If I'm, like, doing a ranking of the Unreal on Earth, I don't know how to rank it because it feels really separate from the rest of the album.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I love it a lot as a song. But, like, I feel like it should maybe have been a single. Like, I don't know if it it's difficult to rank within the context of the album because I feel like the rest of the songs are really cohesive and then Damage Gets Done is just a different kind of vibe and energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it, but when I listen to it, like, when I'm listening to the album on shuffle, I'm like, it doesn't really fit in there.
It comes out of nowhere a little bit.
But as a standalone song, I love it. It is one of my favorites.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way a little bit about Anything But, which is like one of my favorite songs on the album. It presents itself as a little bit more upbeat than the rest of the songs on the album. But I think with both of them, once I started to look into the lyrics a little bit more, they made more sense with the rest of the album.
The Damage Gets Done also just, like, the concept of it and, like, the lyrics and the meaning is just so good. Like,
it's awesome.
Yeah. It's just like, you can be young and broken, but, like, you're still having a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, like, with Anything But, it presents itself as a love song, but apparently it, like, all of the sayings are these Irish sayings about, like, how I actually would rather not be with you.
Really?
Yeah. And so, like, if I were a stampede, you wouldn't get a kick, or if I were a riptide, I wouldn't take you out. It's like,
oh yeah,
there are these things that sound like I'm sparing you from pain, but it's like...
But like, yeah, no, it means, yeah.
It's not in the nature of a stampede to not kick something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, you kind of need to go out of your way to avoid that, actually. Yeah,
real.
That's really interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet, so I'm not taking credit for it, but it said that Hozier went to the lesbian school of yearning,
mm-hmm.
and like...
That'll get you.
It, yep. Like, he really does. Like, he just, the yearning in his music is so good.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And like, I really like how he writes about love and about mm-hmm. pain and about, yeah. you know, yeah, just.
Yeah.
It's, there's something very human about it.
I feel like I should have put some Brandon Carlile Hozier on this playlist for this.
Hey, not too late.
That's true.
We can always.
This is true.
I do love each and every song you pick.
Yeah,
though.
I don't really want to change anyone. I'm pretty proud of my Real. Music selections. For
as you should
today.
Be. As you should be. No. Are there any other songs that jump out as going back to the original question no. of like songs that remind you of people?
I True Blue by Boy Genius
okay.
reminds me a lot of my best friend Lillian. Mm-hmm. She's my best friend from high school.
Yeah.
And I think it's supposed to be a love song, question mark. I'm not sure. But
yeah.
like it reads to me a lot like a very platonic like that, what's the word I'm looking for? Like platonic love, platonic who knows?
Connection.
Connection, yeah. Devotion, that's it.
Devotion. Oh.
I know English Whoa. Really well, of course.
throwing out devotion out
yeah,
here. That's
not without some struggle.
Yeah, well, fair. Yeah. Fair enough.
But yeah, so I think True Blue is a song. We were also saying I have a playlist that I made in summer of 2020 that I yep. just listened to like on repeat in that summer and really in no other context. So like
yeah.
that just reminds me a lot of like that time and those friends that I was seeing like
definitely.
It wasn't a ton because we were all in lockdown, but...
But, yeah, no, if you are one of those people that does, like, the seasonal playlists
yeah.
or, like, the monthly playlist, that'll just bring you back,
it really,
you know?
Like, I have a couple songs that I like. Like, Conan Gray, I think. I don't remember the song off the top of my head, but there's one
so
song that fits, and every time I hear it, I'm just, like, transported back to sophomore year.
Real.
That was just, like, the song I was listening to.
Mm-hmm. College or high school?
College.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is like I was saying earlier, we went to Talwar, a study
yes.
abroad program in France over the summer, and I was saying my one regret from the trip is not making a playlist so that like
yeah.
to like be transported back because like
that's
yeah
really fair. One of my great successes of that trip was having a playlist with our mutual friend Lacey, and like God, my host mom would clean the she's. Like, she's a perfect person. She is and I do not have enough good things to say about Corrine, and she is wonderful, but she would, like, there were a couple days where I either didn't have school or had to get to school, like, late, and so every now and then I would wake up to just her blasting music while dancing and cleaning the house.
But that's, like, kind of a vibe, though. Like, that's how I'm trying to be
no,
as an adult.
And that's part of the reason why I love my host family so much is because yeah. it's just so beautiful.
That's just
that
good energy.
You can be that when you're 60 of
yeah.
just, like, yeah.
That's how I want to be when I'm 60.
Exactly.
Like, that's where I want to be now. I am not, like...
Real. Yeah. But she had... Yeah, a lot of the playlists from her cleaning made the list of
yeah.
just like, should I stay or should I go now? I remember
Classic.
She was like, what does this mean in English?
That's
like, you know,
so funny.
Like,
that's a yeah. Goldilocks song, actually. They play
Is
that
it?
All the time at Goldilocks. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
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 It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
My boss was like totally like, was like a punk, but like actually like house shows, like,
whoa,
which is really fun to hear him
like
talk about music.
Authentic
like,
punk.
Like authentic punk.
Yeah.
Like, but like I can't name any of the other songs on top of my head, but like really big music buff, which is fun.
Very, yeah. very real. Rock on.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of Talwar, what's a place you've traveled to? What did you do there? I mean, tell me a little bit more about Talwar. What made you go? I don't even know if we've
yeah.
ever talked about that.
I really wanted to do a study abroad, and
yeah.
like something I wanted to use in like middle school. Like I knew that was something that I wanted,
mm-hmm.
and then just with COVID and everything, I was like, I don't really want to miss an entire semester on campus
because yep.
I already feel like so many of, like I feel like especially this was like sophomore year, like right when stuff was opening back up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really enjoy being on campus and like being able to participate in the like traditions that like we didn't really get to our freshman sophomore year.
Real.
But I still knew that I wanted to do an abroad program.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mutual friend of ours, Lacey, was like, I'm thinking about going to Talwar, which is a 6 weeks program in the summer. And I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, best of both worlds. Like, I would be able to go abroad, but also like not miss an entire semester on campus.
Yep.
And then we went, and it was just the best experience of my entire life. It was incredible.
Period ever. Yeah.
Like, it
full
was
stop.
Just like, and the great thing about Talwar is like every single person who has gone on the trip, I think, has had nothing but incredibly positive things to say about it.
Yep.
So I went in with very high expectations because every single person I talked to was like, it's incredible. It's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and it somehow managed to exceed those expectations.
Yeah.
Which were already incredibly high to begin with.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. What were some of your like, I think the things that I fell in love with there were either daily or weekly activities where I was just like, this is part of my life. That's awesome. Did you have any things like that that were just routine and hadn't been?
There's actually a Brandi Carlile song, or it's The Highway Woman, which is the band of hers.
Yeah.
Called Crowded Table, which for me really represented the trip. And it was essentially like, one of the things I remember the most is like, having like 3 to 4 hour dinners with my host family.
Yeah.
We would like come down for dinner and then like just sit and chat at the table for hours every single night. And it was just a very different, I think, culture around like rest and like relaxation and like meals and just like community than we have in America, which is really hyper individualistic. And like, it's just a different culture in Europe of like a lot more kind of like community chill vibes, laid back, but like, so that was, I think, something that stuck with me a lot of just, like, just sitting at a table together with a lot of people, like, chatting. That, and it was not a, this was not a weekly thing, but we went paraponting or parasailing.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, one of the coolest, like, experiences of my entire life. It was incredible and insane.
I remember, like, everyone was on the fence about it. Everyone in our program was on the fence about it because it was, like, low-key a little expensive.
Yeah.
As soon as the first group went, it was just like, oh, this is the best thing in the world, actually.
I remember one of my professors being like, I have a fear of heights. You guys have to go. Like, even if you have a fear of heights, like, it is something you have to do when you're here. And that was very much the message. And then people started going and everyone's like, no, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Because also for context, Talwar is like by this lake and also by a mountain range. So like you went parasailing off this like beautiful mountainside and then you're like over this beautiful lake. And like, it was just crazy.
Beautiful views all around, and you've got these French guides that you're strapped to that are up there. Like, when I did it, I think my guy talked about the fact that as soon as you know how to do it, you can do it whenever you want if you've got the sail. And so, people, you hit an updraft, you can stay up there for like a full day.
Yeah, fully.
You can bring lunch with you and just like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's also, you literally like run off the side of a mountain like, for liftoff. Oh, so fun.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Take me back. Yeah, I miss
just
it.
Good, fully just good memories.
Yeah.
Let's see. You feeling another question? You feeling a song break?
I would do a song.
Okay. Do you have one in mind? Do you want me to surprise you?
I will say, because we've been talking about Goldilocks, this is a song that I did steal from my work playlist that is now on repeats for me.
Perfect. Sorry about that, y'all. That was on me. that was Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Got off to a little bit of a late start, and that is my bad, but quite a good song.
Banger, what can I say?
Absolute banger. Elizabeth, we've got a little bit of an announcement for the world.
We do have a PSA.
Yes.
Even though marijuana is the safest known psychoactive drug, legal for adults, recreational use in many states, including Massachusetts, and nobody has ever died from an overdose, when you get high, your brain functions differently.
Ha ha ha, that's the point, isn't it?
Consuming cannabis and products derived from it containing THC will alter your senses, change the way your body processes perceptions and thoughts, and affect your reaction times, most dangerously when you are faced with an immediate emergency situation, which can happen at any time while driving. It's a delusion that stone drivers are better. Impaired drivers of any kind are more dangerous to themselves and others. So, if you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a motor vehicle and driving. Walk to your destination, take public transportation, or find some way of getting a ride from an unimpaired driver.
Spend your time peacefully enjoying life as you safely get to your destination instead of worrying whether you might kill other people with a single mistake in your judgment.
A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Rock on.
Nice.
Gotta knock out the PSA at some point during the hour.
Don't smoke and drive, guys.
Don't smoke and drive.
Don't drink and drive either.
Don't. Just drive. When you're driving, just be driving.
Yeah, drive
sober. Don't text
sober.
And drive.
Drive sober.
Yeah.
I was saying safe driving is one of my like biggest things in life, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very valid.
Yeah.
It took me so long to figure out like any medication that had like don't operate heavy machinery meant
cars. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like, I'm not driving like a tractor.
Like so politely, forklifts are not in my day to day.
No,
you
like
know?
real. But like, yeah, cars are heavy vehicles.
True.
Yeah.
True.
I'm really fighting the urge to go on a walkable city tangent right now.
So Elizabeth, one of the questions you had here is, what do you study and why is it interesting to you? And I think this will help get you there.
It ties
right?
in very well. So
yeah.
I study sociology. And why is it interesting to me?
Yes.
I can literally spend an hour talking about this, but I was saying, I have made it a personal mission to get as many people at Tufts to take at least one sociology class as possible.
Yes.
Because every single person I've spoken to who has taken a sociology class has been like, this has been one of my favorite classes I've taken at college here. Mm-hmm. And like friends from high school have been like, I've taken a sociology class. Like, I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And I think people just don't know what it is. So I'm trying
that's
single-handedly
fair.
To get people to like take sociology classes because I think it's really important.
So for anyone that's listening that maybe doesn't know what it is, do you have a quick definition of it?
So the definition of sociology is the empirical study of human society.
Mm-hmm.
So what that actually means is essentially like anything in society that you can study is sort of sociology, which is one of my favorite things about it. I always joke that like the tagline for the department should be like sociology, it is that deep.
Because I like that.
Because literally like anything can be, you can study through a sociological lens,
yep.
which is, like, my favorite thing ever. Because, like, anything you're interested about, you can, like, look at and be like, oh, I wonder, like, what's behind it? Like, what are the power dynamics that, like, put it into place? Like, what, like, norms does it, like, perpetuate? Like, what does it say about, like, our culture and our society currently?
Yeah.
So, literally, it could be anything.
Interesting.
Like, there's a lot of research on, like, the sociology of, like, superhero movies and Marvel and, like, so you can look about like the power dynamics behind that, like what cultural narratives they're like promoting in their culture, like what it says about what we think as a society based on what it portrays in movies.
So it's sort of both like what is it perpetuating or what does it symbolize, and also like why, like how did we get to the place that it's doing that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, it's essentially pretty much everything is a social construct or a social structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially just like looking at, there's a thing called the sociological imagination. And
sure.
the goal is to make the familiar strange or unfamiliar. And it's essentially to look at things that we take for granted or like just don't even think about. It's like looking at like things that are like common sense and being like, but why is it like this? Or like, but like, wait, actually, like we take this thing for granted because it's just so inherent in our everyday life. But like,
okay.
there's actually a lot behind it that like led to that point, and that it is like, that led to its creation, that it's currently, now that it exists, is promoting. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's so interesting and fascinating.
And so I haven't taken Soch, but I feel like I have taken anthropology and I've taken archaeology, and I feel like there's a very similar, like, unlearned things and then starting from the basics.
Yeah.
Think about why each thing matters.
It's very similar. People ask me the difference between sociology and like anthropology all the time. Yep. I'm going to be honest, I do not know.
Real.
Like, I could not articulate a difference. Real. I know there is one. Like, it's one of those, if you are in either of the fields, you kind of know there's a difference. I have no idea how to describe it.
That's really valid.
The best is, like, anthropology studies culture, sociology studies society, but that doesn't really mean anything if you don't know either of the fields.
To me, culture and society are very similar.
And there's also sociology of culture, which makes it a little bit confusing. Mm-hmm.
So I really like physical chemistry.
Yeah.
Chemical physics is a thing that also exists. I can't tell you the difference between
real,
them,
but like, there
know?
Is one. Like,
there
you know
is
what I
one.
Mean? Yeah, but it's just, you can't really describe
it. I don't
it.
Like,
you just
sure.
kind of, you're like, yeah, like, yep. I like to call them, like, cousins. Like, they're related, but,
sure.
like, they're not, yeah.
You can see the similarity.
Yeah, there definitely are a ton of overlap, for sure, but, like, there are distinct fields.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Rock on. And so how does this relate, then, to, and, like, I kind of get it, but I also just kind of want you to talk about walkable cities, third places, these things that you're very passionate about.
Yes. So anybody who knows me knows that I have a couple soapbox tangents that I like to go on, and walkable cities and third spaces are one of them. And essentially, so a third space as a concept, it's this thing in sort of urban planning and also just like a couple different fields. And it's a concept of a place that is neither work nor home, where people can go to socialize and interact, often without any kind of financial barriers or limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of college campuses, like, we have like plenty of third spaces, like the CC is a third space, like the JCC is a third space, the library. It's like places where you can go that's not like your home or your dorm or class, that you can just like go to exist out in public, often for free.
And it's normalized and it's fine.
Normalized and it's fine, and you can like run into people and you're like, oh, I'm walking to the library and I ran into a friend and now all of a sudden we're like getting dinner, or like now I'm like doing this social thing. But they don't really exist in other places in our society. Like, I think the last kind of true third space is libraries, and even those are kind of getting defunded and needing to be closed down, and people don't really use them as much as they should. Libraries are awesome, guys. Get a
They're
library
great.
Card.
They're great. And the other thing is, like, I don't feel like I see them as social spaces anymore. Yeah. I think they were at one point, but I don't know if I was alive for that, you know?
Or, like, even in Intro to Sociology, watch this entire documentary about malls, and malls used to serve as really, really important third spaces.
True.
Especially for, like pre-adolescent, adolescent teenagers who would, like, go to the mall, so they would have this, like, kind of contained, fairly safe space where they can get away from their parents and, like, socialize and interact with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really exist anymore. Like, if you're a teenager and you don't have a ton of money and you don't really have a car, like, what are you supposed to do with people? Like, you know what I mean?
It was get ice cream and drive around on repeat for me throughout high school, you know?
But part of that is connected to, the, like, walkable cities.
Yeah.
And it's essentially, there's this concept of, like, car-centered infrastructure, where it's like, we, especially in America, build our infrastructure in our cities and our urban planning around cars.
Yep.
So, like, we build highways, we focus on highways and, like, parking lots and stuff, rather than prioritizing public transportation, like, walkability.
Mm-hmm.
But places in Europe, because they were built before cars were invented as a concept, a lot of their infrastructure is designed to support the pedestrian rather than the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, when we were in France, we didn't really need a car because you could just walk. Like, if you wanted to get groceries, you could just walk somewhere or go somewhere.
And there were buses.
There were buses.
And
there were good public transportation.
Yep.
But it's, like, really difficult in a culture that's so car-centric, because it's like, if you want to socialize or do anything, you need to get in your car and drive somewhere, figure out parking. Like, it is not designed in a way that fosters human connection, in a way that is leading us to the loneliness epidemic that we're facing, especially, like, so much has come out recently about, like, the loneliness epidemic, especially following
COVID. Yeah.
And while COVID absolutely kind of exacerbated it, it's like, these are long-standing issues that have been happening for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my soapbox tangent. We need
I love it.
More third spaces. We need more walkable cities and, like, less car-centric infrastructure.
Real. Because I think in America, you've got a lot of, like, transitory spaces that you're expected to only be in for a little bit, you know? Like, non-places or something. Like, I forget what the name for it is.
Yeah.
But, like, Yeah, the mall isn't a social space anymore, yeah. And you need a car to get there.
Exactly. But also think about like the concept of like loitering. Like, we've made it illegal to just exist out in public. You have to pay a fine for it.
Yeah, like, that sucks.
What are you supposed to do? Like,
yeah, real.
And I think that's one of the issues where, like, nowadays, especially, like, kids and teenagers are spending so much time online, and, like, a lot of it is the addictive aspect, like, the fact that our tech is designed to be as addictive as possible.
Yeah.
But also, what else are people supposed to do if they don't have a car and they can't drive anywhere or do anything without having to spend a ton of money?
Yeah, because I guess it also, like, having the internet lowers the bar to being social.
Yes.
So immediately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're like a rural teenager and like you go to school and then you go home and then like you don't.
There's not more options than that.
Yeah, like what else? Like, okay, like cool. You can have friends over, but like that's kind of it.
Real.
Yeah. So that's my soapbox tangent. I go on it semi-regularly, incredibly regularly, actually.
But, yeah. And I like, as someone who hasn't studied this but has only like intuitively felt it, I can't always put my finger on the things that made Talwar different from Boston. Because when we were there, like, there was a city bike system. Mm-hmm. There were buses that were running all the time. Everyone was carpooling with each other, or at least in my experience, there was a lot of carpooling happening. And like, there were ferries across the lake. Yeah. All of those things happen in Boston.
Yeah.
It's just harder. It feels less intuitive.
Yeah. It's also like there's physical infrastructure and there's also cultural infrastructure.
Mm.
And I think in Europe, the physical and the cultural infrastructure work to foster a sense of community in a way that in America it doesn't. So like, even though we sometimes have the physical infrastructure, like we have bike lanes, like we have public transportation, we don't have like the cultural structure of like it being like a normal, like a, like what good are bike lanes if somebody uses it, like or like if you can take public transportation but it's not super effective at getting you where you need to go, or like if it's not normal to carpool, it's really normal for every family to have their own car.
So like there is another level of the T being bad than just the T being bad, because it represents it being that much harder to get somewhere.
Exactly. Like or, like, if we were a culture society that really valued public transportation, we would invest in making it better.
Yeah. We'd hit the root of the problem.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or we would even focus on, like, I'm trying to think, like, in people are like, oh, in Texas, I think they're building, like, a mega highway because there's a lot of issues with traffic. And it's like, making another highway isn't going to address the issues of traffic, because you're still, the problem is still every individual person driving their own car.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to, like, remove traffic, you would invest in public transportations, or, like, invest in spaces where people can, like, walk to the grocery store instead of having to, like, drive to the grocery store. Like, walk to the local coffee shop instead of having to drive to the local coffee shop.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this TikTok that they were talking about, like, Taylor Swift was performing in Australia, and in the stadium she was performing at, there was no parking lot. And everyone in America was like, how did people get there?
How did anyone get there?
And everyone's like, even just thinking how much space parking lots take.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if everyone took public transportation or walked, all of a sudden, all of this space that has been kind of given over to cars could be made for the pedestrian. Like, there could be additional shops that get foot traffic because people are walking. And if you're walking, you're like window shop, and then you stop in, and then, oh my god, like, this is a cute little coffee shop, let me go in here, rather than just like being stuck in your car all day.
That's really interesting. It's like, I went to Japan in high school, and we talked before the trip. It was like a school trip, about some of the cultural differences, and they're like, there aren't going to be public trash cans there, but nothing is going to be dirty.
Yeah.
And as Americans, we're going like, how the heck does that work? But like, you hold on to your trash and then you throw it away when you get somewhere where there is a trash can. You don't need one every 5 feet. And and that just makes me so much more confused on how we have so many here and we also see littering everywhere.
Well, it's one of those, I think it makes you, like, if you don't have trash cans everywhere, it makes you a lot more aware of the trash that you produce.
Yep.
So, like, if you have to hold on to it until you can get home to throw it away, I think you'd be a lot more mindful of, like, as you're going about your day, of not trying to create trash.
Exactly.
Because you're, like, you know that you have to be the one to hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think, like, that, like, obviously I've never been to Japan, I don't know, but that would just be my assumption based off, like, what you just shared.
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
People are probably just more mindful of, like, versus in America, when we know we have all the trash cans all of the time, it's a lot more intuitive to, like, grab an extra napkin or, like, grab something you don't need and then, like, toss it. Like,
yeah. And there's, if I can start to try and exercise this new muscle and work this new term, but, like, I think there's also, like, a cultural infrastructure of respect there and of, like, we're going to respect this public space that we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. It's also, like, so much of, like, just the norms as well is a big thing. Like, just, like, social norms of, like, especially in America, it's, like, we have this kind of, like, ideology of, like, individualism versus in Japan, they have a much more community-centric, like, communal ideology of, like, oh, it's all of our responsibilities to, like, take care of the shared spaces and then everyone can enjoy them. Versus in America, it's more of, like, I'm responsible for my own private property, but, like, I don't have a responsibility to, like, shared spaces that we all have to exist in and enjoy in.
Yeah. Wow. And then that's just back to the... back to the Australia thing of, like, if there's not a parking lot, you're going to think a little bit harder about how to get there.
Yeah,
and
that's
for the best, probably.
Or if there's public transportation that, like, goes up to the stadium, it makes it incredibly easy. Like, if you could just take, like, get off a T-stop at the stadium, why would you not do that versus driving?
Yep.
Yeah.
Real.
Anyway, that was my tangent.
It was very productive, and I feel like I've learned a lot. I hope our audience has too.
Yes. Invest in walking, guys. Also, walkable cities are so much better for your mental health. We should have done the PSA on walking. That was actually a whole one that we missed.
Yeah. I mean, at least one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it's also way better for your mental health to live in, like, walkable communities, because you're getting outside, you're getting fresh air, you're getting exercise. Like, humans aren't built or, like, meant to live in societies where we just drive everywhere. Like, that's not the normal way to live or function.
Real.
Yeah.
And there's, at least for me, there's so much mental benefit to walking somewhere is a slower way of getting there.
Yeah.
And it gives you that sort of mental time to either decompress after something just happened or get yourself in a calm headspace for something to happen.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Transition periods are really important.
They're great.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was that's actually, like, so that's kind of what sociology is a little bit. That's, like, one of my kind of areas of sociology that I've been, like, I'm doing a senior project, not in sociology, actually, in my civic studies major, but essentially on kind of, like, third spaces and their importance.
Interesting. Yeah. So, like, for me, one thing that I've noticed is that there's both the thing of, like, chemistry, or coming from high school, you think subjects are one thing, and then I talk about this all the time, but they're actually, like, five small subjects in a trench coat.
Real.
And then the other thing that I feel like I've noticed in college is that there are these little, like, places of interest where the Venn diagram of multiple subjects overlaps.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you want to look at environmental chemistry and, like, toxicology and public health and environmental engineering and stats even a little bit, all, like, hone in on one point. So it sounds kind of, for this example, urban planning like GIS, SOCH, anthro.
Yeah, I did do my GIS project actually on noise pollution in highways, because I was like, highways are not a great system. So very similar. But yeah, sociology can be an extremely interdisciplinary field, which I love it. I think one of my favorite things about SOCH is that it's like, we talk about the sociological imagination, which is, like, essentially, like, a tool that you gain if you study sociology. Like, it is, like, a tool to use as, like, a worldview to analyze issues. And it can be applied to literally any field. So, like, it's more so of an approach. Like,
You have the lens.
You have the lens. Like, so it is so, it lends itself really well to interdisciplinary studies. Because, like, there's environmental sociology, there's sociology of culture. Like, literally anything you want to study, you can study within the confines of sociology, which is great, because you just get to be like, I'm kind of interested in this, like, or I'm a little curious about why this is the way that it is. And, like, anything that you possibly could be interested in, you can study in sociology.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So take a class, guys. And also the professors are awesome. They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. Everyone should take a SOCH class.
Incredible. That's a very compelling point. I'm thinking
song.
Yeah. little bit of talking, and then we're almost at the end of the show, like coming up on it. Perfect. Final third.
You need to stop me from yapping. I can talk an hour straight if you let me.
That's kind of the point of all this. Yeah. Just saying. What do you want to go into?
Ooh.
And when you choose, it should actually start this time. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Let's see. Oh, I know why that is. There we go. This is Don't Take the Money by Bleachers.
Somebody broke me once. Love was a currency, a shimmering balance act. I think that I left it there. And I saw your face and hands covered in sun, and then I think I understand. Well, I understand. Dreams on the blade, different sides of the bed. Roll your eyes, shake my head. Now we're stuck in the storm. We were born to ignore, and all I got is a chance to just say, baby, love, you got me running. You steal the air out of my lungs. You make me feel it. I pray for everything we lost, buy back the secrets. Your head. And I cut off my t-shirt sleeves and claim a new continent. Till I saw your face and hands covered in sun, and then I think I understand. Well, I understand. But we fight, stay up late in my dreams on the blade. Different sides of the bed. Roll your eyes, shake my head. Now we're stuck.
That was a lovely song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There was a moment, it started playing, and Luke immediately goes, I'm adding this to my playlist, which really, my music taste is one of the things I might be most proud of about myself.
Yep.
So, like, that was really a moment of, like, nice.
Real. I was, you should be proud of it. I can't just blow past that.
Yeah.
Every song you put on here was incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time deliberating this.
Real.
It's so funny. When I was in high school, I had a friend of mine be like, we just had different music tastes.
Real.
And she was like, she's like, I don't like your music taste or something like that. And like, that has stuck with me so much that like, and like, now that I know that I have really good playlists, every time somebody compliments my music taste, I'm like, oh my God, thank you.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Yeah. So it became an active thing of like, I need people to think I have good music taste.
It's just such a validating thing to hear.
It really is.
I know it's not a statement on my personality. Like, I know that a judgment of my music taste is not a statement about my personality. It feels like one.
A little bit.
It does.
For sure. No, and especially because, like, I put a lot of effort into, like, I listen to songs that I like, but I put a lot of effort into making playlists that, like, I could also play in settings that I think people would enjoy, like, curating the vibe. So, like, whenever somebody's like, oh, this is a really good playlist, I'm like, thank you. Like, I put a lot of effort into curating a very specific vibe for this. I say this, I also have been listening to Vessel by 21 Pilots on repeat recently, so, like, take everything with
a grain of salt. Do what you gotta do.
It's, like, it's really bad how much of a banger it is.
I'm gonna add that. I've made an Elizabeth Song Rex list. No, I gotta know. I've never heard it before.
Oh, God, no.
Sorry.
No, I feel like any goodwill I just built up with my music taste, I have fully just wrecked.
We all have our own guilty pleasure songs.
It's one of just those, saying. Every time I start listening to that album, I went, this cannot bode well for my mental health. Like, clearly something's going on. Like,
real.
It's a warning sign.
One of my takes that I am least proud of is that Smoke and Mirrors, the album by Imagine Dragons, is a genuinely good lifting song, and I will not accept...
But, like,
the deluxe, it's got like 20 songs. Like, it's so long.
I can't even deny it. It seems like it would be a good workout album song. Yeah.
It would. I mean, is it definitely embarrassing to say? For sure.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Okay, I went to the Tufts pool the other day to go swimming.
And I need to go.
It was good. And the men's team was like practicing.
Sure.
And they were listening to 21 Pilots, but like not like deep cut 21 Pilots.
Okay.
Like 2014 21 Pilots.
Wow.
It was not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
And like multiple songs too. Like it wasn't, they didn't just play one, like multiple.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. I hope that is a cultural thing for the men's swim team and not just like we put one guy on aux and this is the first time this is happening. Like,
and
like
the last.
Like, I hope that's part of it.
Yeah, no, know? Absolutely. I like to imagine so.
Definitely.
I like to live in a world where the Tufts men's swim team listens to 21 Pilots in practice.
I think
it makes my life a little bit better.
Yeah, it sparks a little bit of joy.
A little, and you know what? We need all the joy we can get.
Absolutely.
Like, any moment of serotonin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's a phrase you say often or a habit you unconsciously picked up and where do you think it came from?
I very recently, shout out to my roommate, she said this phrase to me. I've been saying loss in the sauce a lot recently, and I did steal that from my roommate, fully credit to her.
Yep.
But I also think now it is catching on because I've now been saying it to a lot of people and now other people have been saying it to other people and I'm worried that I'm starting a trend, but also like... It really just accurately captures the energy and the vibe.
It really does.
Because when you're lost in the sauce, like
you're just lost.
You're in the sauce.
Yeah. Like, there's not another way to say it.
Like, truly, I'm like, yeah, like I am lost in the sauce right now.
Real. I'm in a poetry class right now. I've been writing a lot of poems, and every now and then I just like hear something. I was like, that person didn't mean for that to rhyme. That rhymed.
Yeah.
And so on my blackboard at home right now, I've got a poem that I wrote in like 2 seconds yesterday.
Love.
That's got lost in the sauce as part of it.
Oh,
and I'm
going
to send that to you. But
I would love to see this poem, please.
Yep.
I also saw a TikTok of somebody saying like, they're like, oh, it's getting really difficult to make lemonade. Like, how you doing? They're like, you know, it's kind of getting difficult to make lemonade. Which
too many lemons.
Like, yeah, too many lemons, not enough lemonade, which I also might need to start incorporating to my vocabulary.
Real.
That's incredible.
Real.
I love idioms. They're one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday while playing pool, fully tooting my own horn here, I suggested a shot to my friend, and he took the shot in pool, and it worked. And he went, that was actually a pretty good idea. I was like, I have bad ideas, but I'm not full of them, is what I said. and I think that might stick around for a little bit.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, do you have any phrases that you have been saying a lot recently?
Let's see. There's been a lot of real, and that's so real. I think whatever, I generally have an affirmation phrase that comes and goes, and it morphs its form.
Real.
Yep. And the other one that I always credit with radio is I really like saying kick butt when I'm supporting things, but I can't say that on radio. And so, especially last year, I would start to say that and then catch myself.
Yeah.
And if you ever hear me say killer,
That's the pivot.
Killer is it, but now it's unironic. Now now that's just what I
it's
mean.
It's the vocabulary. Yeah.
But I'll call things killer all the time. Now.
I like that. I might steal that actually. I've been infected with slay. Mm-hmm. I still can't get rid of it. I started saying it ironically, and we have snowballed, and now it's.
Yeah.
It is a full part of my vocabulary, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Mostly for worse.
King has really entered my vocabulary recently. Yeah. I think queen has been in my vocabulary for a lot longer.
Bestie is making a resurgence in a way that I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very fair. I got brunch like 2 weeks ago with someone who unironically was saying slurve, which I think was a combination of slay and serve.
But it kind of sounds like slur.
It sounds bad. Something about it makes me feel specifically uncomfortable.
I feel like you're calling me a slur.
Sounds, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No.
So that doesn't sit right with me.
No, slurve.
Yep.
I said abscoursely the other day.
I like that so much. Abscoursely? That's incredible.
Yeah, it was an accident, but it was really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rock on.
Yeah.
Rock On has been with me since freshman year. I got that from a friend who I love and treasure, but I was only ever friends with her freshman fall.
Yep, yep.
And she did a lot of quoting Ringo Starr with Peace and Love and Rock On, and it's just stuck with me since.
Yeah, Rock On's a fun one. I like that.
You say it around geologists or rock climbers, and you're a lot funnier than you actually are.
That's so funny. I will say, I loved going to the geology meeting last year. That was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god. My sociology brain turned on. I'm like, oh my god, what are the norms of this space? What are the shared assumptions? Like, what are the assumptions of shared knowledge in this space right now?
So true.
It's so funny, because you can just turn it on and never. Like, I actually, it's not even that I can turn on, I can't turn it off anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, whenever I'm in a space, I'm always like,
it's just in there
analyzing it
in
a way of being like, oh my god, like, interesting. Like, these are the norms of this space. Like, okay, like, people said this thing and made this joke, and everyone laughs. Like, what does that say about like the shared knowledge of this? Like,
space?
It was really fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
Very real. And like, I'm not a full outsider to that space, right? Right.
Yeah.
So you went to a Tufts University Geological Society TUGS meeting.
Yeah. For context, I also know absolutely nothing about geology, like, at all. There was a moment where we had to introduce ourselves as, like, what mineral that we felt the most like in this moment. And I was like, I don't know any minerals. And so I was like, what about a crystal? I'm like, yeah, I feel like crystals. And I didn't realize that they were asking me for, like, a specific crystal.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that. And they're like, no, that's not.
I have a very similar story, because like I study geoscience, but I don't study rocks.
Yep.
And so one time, one of the icebreakers for like the end of semester department meeting was name and favorite rock. And I was like, mica. And then someone hit me with like, which kind? And I was like, there's more than one.
Here's the thing. You asked me for my favorite rock.
I
rocks, like, they're cool.
Yeah.
I could not name a single one.
I was like, mica, and she was like, is it this kind or the other kind? And I picked the wrong one. She's like, boy, me and most people feel like the other one is prettier. But I was like,
you're like, then why'd you ask?
I'm sorry. Like, I so genuinely don't know what either of those things
real,
are.
Real. See, but that's a flaky of one. Shared value.
You know?
In this space.
Yeah. Real.
Or shared value, shared norm, shared knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Just before I forget, thank you guys for listening. You have been listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We've got another minute or two to talk. We'll go to a song soon.
Perfect.
Ted Lasso? Ted Lasso. Just watch Ted Lasso.
Yeah. I have nothing to add. It's perfect.
I mean,
it's literally just perfection.
It's fantastic. Made me cry several times.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, all three seasons are incredible. Season one might actually be some of the best television.
Real.
Just in it. Like,
yeah.
It's all the characters are so good. It's like the pacing is incredible.
It's all good. It knows when to end.
It knows when to end. It did not drag itself out.
Yep.
I don't know if it's a spoiler or not of Jamie Tart.
But got a character with an awesome redemption arc.
Yeah, we were saying like Zuko level redemption arc, like
definitely.
Actually one of the best in television.
And I would say anytime you feel like it's gotten too cheesy and like wholesome without any bite to it, wait another episode and you will understand that there is complexity and it's not just heartwarming to be heartwarming.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also one of those, it was like, it's a comedy show that it's like, you don't need to be mean to be funny.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Which I really appreciate, because I think we've gotten a really like, kind of like sarcastic and biting with humor recently.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, like I love... The, like,
it's fun to make fun of stuff.
It's fun to make fun of stuff.
And we all know that, but it's not the only way
to be fun. Yeah, I think, don't get me wrong, I love Tony Stark, but maybe we all don't need to be like a whole sarcastic comment, like quips, humor. Like, it's great, I love it, I think it's really funny, let's do something else.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Watch Ted Lasso.
Watch Ted Lasso. It's so, and the mustache is just iconic.
It's so iconic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me, this was so fun.
It's a good time. Play us out. Oh, sorry. It should actually start when you start it now. Great choice. Happiness.